We are so glad tonight to have Brother and Sister Barker here with us. We appreciate them, and we want to ask them to come right now and to take their liberty, sing, preach, whatever you need to do tonight. Amen. We're just glad to have you here. Praise the Lord.
I appreciate the Lord, and I appreciate the opportunity to get to come up here and be an invitation to preach. We don't get out as much as we used to, but I appreciate Brother Hurst asking us and having confidence in us. And I guess, is that your twin? See, I probably always thought you two was the same. I wondered how you got around so fast. So I talked to the twin earlier tonight. No wonder he was so nervous. I didn't know he was facing that wedding. But I'll tell you what, if you prayed for her, then God will give you peace. Because I prayed for my wife. I've told the story here. I just tired. I said, Lord, I don't care if I'm single, if that's what your will is. But when it's your will, bring the right lady into my life. And I took my grandma to church. That was a Thursday night. I took my grandma to church on a Friday night to hear her brother, which is my great uncle, Ernest Carter. Some of you older folks may know the hymn trio. That was my great uncle's. And, Ernest was singing at a little church called Conover Hill. I took my grandma to go to church to be her oldest grandson, be nice to Mama on a Friday night. Young guy, young man. And my wife come up to me, the wife-to-be, and introduced herself. And I was trying to get her phone number. My grandma says, it's time to go, honey. And I had to pray real quick and ask her to give me the phone number. Well, I appreciate the Lord. We appreciate what God's done for us. And it's no time to turn back. I mean, I've made a lot of dumb mistakes. I don't take this wrong, brother, but I heard a little bit of Dave Ramsey earlier before they took the offering up. And I told the offering taker that was what I was hearing a little bit. I'd like to listen to him too. And I got a center guy that I do a little bit of work with every once in a while. And he says, I don't want to hear Dave Ramsey. It'll get you all discouraged. I said, don't get me discouraged. It gets me motivated. But you know what? We can trust God. We can live for God. I've been saved now 30 years. Brother Hurst, when he asked me to come preach, we was talking on the phone. I'm going to be a grandpa come August, my first. I'm not a grandpa, Dan Kroger. I'm still a kid myself. But, you know, God's blessed. My daughter and her husband were praying for a child and things that seemed like it was going to work. And God answered prayer. And, you know, I always think, Norma said, you know, Norma wants a little grandbaby. She wants a little boy. And I don't care as long as it's healthy, but they tell us it's going to be a boy. So God's answered her prayer. And they're buying so many clothes. I said, you're going to have to dress that child twice a day just so he gets to wear everything. But you know what? God's good, isn't he? And I praise God for answering prayer. I praise God for watching over. And glory to God. It's no time to turn back now. It's no time to turn back and let go of God. You know what? God's going to see us through. Let me just encourage myself tonight as I preach to you. You know what? God's for us. Glory to God. The economy may be bad. Everything may look bad around us. But God's still on the throne. And God's going to bring us through if we'll stay with him. Appreciate the Lord.
I thank the Lord for everything he's done, and I'm thankful that he does hear our cry. And it was this week in revival, one more time, he reminded me of how big he is. And Brother Neil Bridges was at our church, and he's an elderly man, and I got lots of confidence in his prayers. And I had something so hard on my heart, and as I drove down the road Thursday, I thought, I just cried. I almost had to pull over. I was praying and seeking the Lord for this situation. And I thought, well, Brother Bridges is probably at the church, but I'm a woman and I don't like to go and, you know, where just a man, a preacher man like that. So I thought, I can't go alone. I'll write him a note and ask him to pray over a situation with me. And things happened and time got away from me. And I thought, well, I can't. I'll just go on home and I'll trust the Lord that he's going to work it all out. And that night he got up and he said, I was up till 3:30 in the morning. And he said, I was praying for a certain situation. And he said, I don't know what. And he just said, he knew the person. He knew what it was about. And he said, I prayed and I prayed. And he preached a wonderful message. And Friday night after service, my husband pulled up beside him as he was leaving. And he said, I really appreciate you, how you preached and you know, was led by the Lord. And he said, brother, there was one person in that congregation that I had such a burden for. And he said, he described this person to a T. And I got so excited and I said, was that person sitting such and such? And was that person wearing this? And he said, yes, sister. And I said, that's my prayer that I prayed and I cried and I cried. And he said, sister, that kept me up till 3:30 in the morning. I didn't get to tell him. But I know one that does know it all and that does care and that does hear us when we cry. Psalms 107 said, when they cried unto the Lord, he delivered them out of their trouble. But then it turns right around three different times and says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. And I'm so thankful tonight. I got a little bit of bronchitis and I can't sing to like I would like to, but I really pray that you'll help me and just trust him and praise him most of all, because he does hear our cry, and I love him. Crossing the calm sea with Jesus, the disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but he was asleep in the stern. Does he not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. Jesus arose when they called him, and he said to them, where is your faith? Because you prayed all night and you held on with all your might. Child, your cries have awoken the Master, and he knows your voice. Lift up your head, it's time to rejoice. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. It hit you without any warning. The storms of your life had begun. The wind started violently blowing. You were frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling. You're thinking that you'll surely drown, but you cried out for help from the Savior, and you know you can't give up now, because you prayed all night and you've held on with all your might. Child, your cries have awoken the Master, and he knows your voice. Lift up your head, it's time to rejoice. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. Help me, stand with me and help me sing, because I'm out of breath, and but the Lord can help us. Give me a
sometimes I get a little weary of traveling this old road, and I cry, Lord, won't you come by here, help me carry my heavy load in the stillness. will be worth the journey when I get there. Oh, now heaven will be worth the journey when I get there. Oh, the dead heat will be so wonderful, burning fun. When I see Jesus sitting on the throne, oh, I'll be so glad for every time I made myself pass on bold. Heaven will be worth the journey. Sometimes I've been tested and many times I've tried. Oh, and sometimes I have passed and sometimes I fail. But when I think I'm sitting down along the way, well, something way down in my soul begins to say, child, heaven will be worth the journey. Journey when I get there. Oh, that city will be so wonderful, bright and fair. When I see Jesus sitting on the throne, I'll be so glad for every time I made myself press on home. Heaven will be worth the journey when I get there. I get a little weary of traveling this so long. I cry, Lord, come and help me carry my heavy load. In the stillness of the night, He lifts my load and He makes it seem oh so light. Lets me know heaven will be worth the journey when I get there. Oh, now heaven will be worth the journey when I get there. Oh, that city will be so wonderful, bright and fair. When I see Jesus sitting on the throne, I'll be so glad for every time I made myself press on home. Heaven will be worth the journey when I get there.
Hallelujah. Well, we've been in revival all week and with Brother Neil Bridges and really seen a lot of results. And during that time, my wife's had bronchitis, but Lord's been helping her. And I tell you, I need her. I'd hate to have be a preacher and the wife just sits there, which I know they pray for you, but you know, when they can sing, it helps out a little bit. Because I'm hoping they'll sing it through, you know. You know, I sure don't want to kill the service. The Lord knows that. But I met Brother Hurst in 1981. My brother was going to Bible college at Ozark Bible Institute. I was older than my brother. I'm 15 months older. We were raised. In fact, folks think we're twins. And Mark, he'll say, "Did you?" When I used to get out and preach a lot and travel full time, he'd say, "Have you been preaching somewhere?" And he'd name a part. I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, somebody seen me in town and said you preach good." So I said, "Well." I was trying to think a good thing to say about him, but I couldn't, you know. But no, I was just kidding you. I just quit trying to explain that I wasn't. In fact, I went in one church one night to preach, and somebody thought I got me a new woman. They thought I was my brother, and they thought Norma was my new wife, and it kind of got me in a little trouble. But anyway, I appreciate the Lord. Brother Hurst was out there in the Osho. I met him 1981. Our dad was never, I believe God saved him towards the end, but my dad was never a Christian man, never did go to church with mom. We was raised, my mom's side of the family, all Pentecostals. We were made to go to church with mom when we was younger. When we got older, we kind of had just a few years to rebel. We never got into nothing bad. Just, you know, we got into sin, but nothing so far that I was addicted to anything. But I didn't find no peace. And at 18 years of age, my brother 17, there was a revival with Brother Rich Goldeyes at the Highway Holiness, and we were just invited to come to church, really just to get my mom off our back and my aunt Lois Saylor off our back, and I got saved. And my dad always said, I can read you like a book, you're never satisfied. He was right. You know, if I'm happy, you're going to know it. If I'm sad, I can't fake it. If I'm under a burden, I try to fake smile, but I just can't fake it. I'll never be a good politician. I'll never be a good car salesman. In fact, every time I sell something, my wife tells them I tell too much before I ever sell it. They know everything going wrong or it's going to go wrong, you know. But that's just the way I am. But when I got up that night from the altar, I felt something I hadn't ever felt before, and it was peace. And I said, I found what I've been looking for, thank God. And you know what? Every time I get a little bit weary, every time things seem like they ain't going just right, I just go back to an old-fashioned altar, whether it's out in the middle of a field or at the altar of the church or an altar at a home. And it's that same sweet spirit comes back. And you know what? God's there for us. And it's where you'll find peace tonight. It's where I have. Well, let's start. We got some scriptures. I met Brother Hurst. Turn with me to Psalms, the 37th chapter. And my dad never was a Christian man. He thought that here was his saying. My dad was a hard-working man, a hod carrier all of his life. Some of you younger kids probably don't know what that means, but that means that my grandpa Barker was a bricklayer. And my dad, I don't know why he never did. He had a bad eye. Maybe he couldn't really see, to feel like he was able to keep it plumb and everything. He had a nerve that was dead and his eye danced. My grandpa was a bricklayer, and my dad was a hod carrier. Anybody know what a hod carrier is? My dad always said, I want you boys to hod carry before you do anything else. You know what hard work is. He said, I worked like a mule all my life. My dad was a strong man. My dad was a good man. My dad never did mistreat us, never did mistreat mom. He just wouldn't go to church. But here's what dad always said. 5 o'clock in the morning caused a lot of men to be preachers. Well, I've met some lazy preachers, but I don't want to be a lazy preacher. We had something to overcome, me and my brother, because you know what? Dad had an idea that there were some lazy preachers out there. Everybody I've ever met that's really a man of God, that has a burden for the lost, they're the most busiest people in the world. Well, anyway, because of that, we never did ask Dad for nothing. When my brother went to Bible college first, my dad said he's wasting his money. Then I go out there and I get the burden, so I come home. Mark and them it was at the end of the year, graduation time, this time of the year. And Mark was going on to Texas to work in the oil fields for that summer. And I was going back home. I went back home and I prayed all summer. I said, Lord, if it's your will, then you make a way for me to go to Bible college. Well, I didn't tell Dad, didn't tell Mom. Never Dad did ask Dad for nothing. I'm talking about to finance me to go into school. And I went to convocation. And when I went to convocation, Brother Branham came to me. Anybody know Brother D.C. Branham? Okay, I'm 300 and some pounds then. Now, then I was a little over 200 and some pounds. A lot skinnier. Brother Branham said, Brother Mike, I really love your spirit. Love you. Know your brother, now I know you. We need somebody to be a hod carrier, because we're building the Kessler Auditorium. We got a bricklayer coming in from Virginia. Would you pray about staying? So all that week during convocation, I was praying. Finally, I called Mom and Dad, and I said, I'm not coming back. Send me my clothes. I said, Brother Branham, what am I going to do for work clothes? He said, I'll take care of you. I wore Brother Branham's shirts until my clothes got there. I could wrap them around me twice almost. But I did it. And because I done it, they helped me to pay to go to Bible college by working on the Kessler Auditorium. I'm supposed to send Brother Danny Taylor a bunch of pictures that I've got from when they was building that, some of the older brothers, and what a great work. But an opportunity through there, I met Brother Hurst and became close to him. Me and Brother Hurst started preaching together. In fact, like Brother Hurst, he had a car. All of the preachers that got to go out got to borrow that car. I couldn't fit in that thing now, but, you know, we used to pile four people in there, me and my brother and Guy Parrish and Clifford Hurst. Brother Hurst, we'd all hop in the car. And, in fact, I, if I remember right, and I know sometimes we don't remember right, but my first night to preach, I had to go to Noel, Missouri, and I borrowed Brother Hurst's car, and a snowstorm hit, and I had to spend the night, and he was worried about his car more than he's worried about me. But, well, I just wanted to give you some history. Maybe that's why Brother Hurst has given me an opportunity to preach tonight, because we go back a long way. We got out and preached some on our own, me and him in Oklahoma, and we was down in Rogers, Arkansas, and preaching for an old brother down there. And you know, we were just young. We wasn't married. We were just Bible school kids. But we thought kids. But it was bedtime, and me and Brother Hurst got a laughing spirit, got to laughing. It was over something stupid. And the old pastor hollered back there, "You kids be quiet back there. We got to go to bed. Quit roughhousing." We wasn't roughhousing, but Brother Hurst said, "He makes us feel like we're about 10 years old." I said, "I know we're probably acting like it, but we had a lot of good experiences." And I never would dream that Brother Hurst would come up here to pastor, but I tell you, I appreciate Brother Hurst. He's been the same. And he always said I was pretty sincere. I hope I am. I guess maybe I push myself more than anything. But Psalms 37th chapter, we're going to try to get into preaching, and says this. I got out so many scriptures, I'll probably not get to all of them, but I want to read you. Let's go up to verse 23, but I want to preach on verse 25. "The steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Here's verse 24. I like this. "Though he fall..." You ever made any mistakes? I have. I meant dumb mistakes. A lot dumber than following Dave Ramsey's advice. I meant just dumb, dumb mistakes. A lot of times it's because I put my hands in it where I should just let God take care of it and made a big mistake. "Though he fall..." Done some sins too. Made some bad mistakes. I told a young guy the other night that got saved during our revival, prayed through. He said he was saved, but he really hadn't got a hold of God. He prayed through during this last week's revival. And I went to Dylan. I said, "Dylan, you may make a lot of mistakes in life, but keep coming back to the altar. Because we got two choices. One, we're going to go to hell. One, we're going to go to heaven. I'm going to go God's way. I'm going to make heaven my home. And the way I'm going to do that, I'm going to keep on going back to the altar. I'm going to get up when I fall and say, 'God, forgive me and help me to walk on.' And I'm going to make heaven my home." Excuse me. "Though he fall, he shall not either be cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young. Now I'm old. Yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Lord, help my scattered thoughts that you've given me, Lord, for weeks since Brother Hurst asked me. I feel the Spirit, Lord, of your presence here. When they were singing, I could feel the Spirit of the Lord. I don't want to kill this service. I don't want to hinder this service, Lord, but I want you to have your way. Touch us, Lord. Touch my throat. Touch my wife tonight, God, and give her that healing she needs. Touch others here in this congregation. Let us leave here tonight saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord. It'd only be through your Spirit, God. We know you're here. Help us to reach out and get the need we have need of, Lord, met tonight through you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for everything. Thank you for everything you've ever done for us, the kindness you've showed us. I appreciate Brother and Sister Kroger being here tonight. We've sat around their table, had plenty of great fellowship over the years. They've been our friends, and a lot of times at our house, but sometimes Brother Dan let us come to their house, and I appreciate that. And now his brother takes care of my vehicles, and every time I go there, I remind him that I'm Dan's friend, because I want his brother to be mindful, you know, that he's got somebody he better take care of. So, in fact, Brother Dan, I've got your brother now contracted when I broke down in my work truck to take care of me and pick me up on the side of the road. So I appreciate him. But you know what, young people? Go with God. Man, I got to get going. I knew I was going to be like this. Go with God, and God will take care of you. Stay with God, and God will be with you. Matthew 5:45, it says this: "It rains on the just and the unjust." It sure is raining right now, isn't it? The sun shines on the just and the unjust. And sometimes I don't understand when bad things happen to good people, but I do know God takes care of them if we'll just stay with him and go with him. Can I just kind of testify to you about some of the things God's done in my life? Is that all right? Is that all right? I don't know what time you get out of church. When it's time to go, you get up and we'll make an altar call. Somebody laid a dime on the platform, on the pulpit. I don't know whether that's just a remark because they found one or they know that I preach on the dime. I don't say it as much anymore, but I still find them. Because I want to tell you something. When you feel like the world's caving in, God's still mindful of you. One preacher rebuked me, said, we're not supposed to look for signs. I'm not looking for a sign. But ain't a reminder all right, brother? When I see the Word of God, I'm reminded that that's God's love letter to me, glory to God, that tells me God's going to help me. It's my road map to heaven. Okay, I got saved when I was 18. I made a lot of choices in life that I might stay saved. I got to fear God first. That's what kept me saved. You talk about economy being bad now. Has everybody heard the news? We're in bad shape. My son-in-law's laid off. He's almost getting ready to get his journeyman's license to be an electrician. The place he worked for laid him off, gave him a severance package. There's been other places offering him jobs, but he's waiting, you know. He's my daughter's husband. You know what I said? Come back home. I'd like him to be back home anyway. I told Leanne the other day, you ain't going to have to get married. I want you to stay right here. If you do marry, the husband can move in. I hope Becca and Ryan come home. But you know what? God's taking care of them. Now she's expecting. That's a burden. But you know what we found out? That it's going to be taken care of. Her father-in-law said, I'll pay the bill. So I praise God for the father-in-law. Don't take this wrong, please, but by trying to follow after God, when we resigned our last position at the highway, I took a job and I wanted to get it always into the health field. And I go to places now and I set people up on oxygen and medical equipment, mainly oxygen, respiratory problems, CPAPs, BiPAPs, nebulizers, all that. I'm not a therapist. I do everything just about. I just need to get my license. But I see people that never cared to ever work a day in their life and seem like they're everything's give to them. And then I go to patients' house and they'll tell me, honey or brother Mike, a lot of people know me because of churches. And I've had prayer in homes with folks before. I know I'm not supposed to. Don't tell on me. When they hired me, they said, we don't want you preaching nobody. I said, I'm on your time. But they can't restrict me from having a little prayer or either taking the prayer back to the church. But they say, I can't even afford all my medicine. And I go away so burdened. I thought, this world's in a mess. It's in a mess. If you ever try to have anything, it seemed like you're penalized for it. But you know what? I'm not up here to preach on politics. But I know one thing. God can come down. I had a black sister, and I'm not prejudiced whatsoever. Her husband was in the hospital. He's a patient of ours. And I was just at their house this last week. And I was asking him how he was doing. I said, doing good. I said, last time I was here, he was in the hospital. In fact, I helped your wife. I was checking out your equipment. She asked me to take the trash out. So I took the trash out. She kissed me on the cheek and said she really appreciated it. And then found out we started talking about church. She was telling me about her black church she goes to and how they really get in. I said, well, we sing a lot of your black gospel choir songs. You know, we love that. And so we started talking about church. She said, honey, would you have prayer with me? And I pray with her. She kissed me on the cheek again. Glory to God. You know what? You can feel the Spirit of God in wherever you're at, just walking with God. So I felt like I've always tried to put God first and God's directing my path. Sometimes I haven't liked it. The economy was bad in the early 80s when I got out of school. A lot of my friends went into the army and the service. I had been to the recruiter. I was supposed to go in with a friend of mine. He went ahead and went. He's still out of church tonight. I got saved and I didn't go. Glory to God. And you know what? I'm not saying you can't be saved and be in the army or be in the service of the armed forces. But brothers and sisters, everybody I ever met that went in there, they backslid on God. So I started thinking about my life today. And I thought, you know what? Probably in the world's eyes, I'm a failure. But I hope in God's eyes, I'm a success. Because I've never tried to build a kingdom down here. I've never tried to build up anything down here. But I've tried to deliver my soul and live for the eternity that's to come and my heavenly home. I want to be pleasing in God's sight. Put God first. Make choices that are right. Pray about situations. Pray about things. there's been times I didn't pray as much as I should have, and seemed like we didn't get the answer we needed. But there's been times, like I've told you, that I've prayed and God has moved and God has answered. You know, young people, they told me about another preacher this week. Left his wife with two little children, ran off with another woman. The devil's out to kill, steal, and destroy. He'll destroy your ministry potential. He'll just tie you up and pray about it. My youngest girl's praying about things right now. I told her, I said, Leanne, pray. Pray and wait on God. God will move for you. God will help you. Okay, let me get to preaching. I can't tell Brother Verl Vaughn's stories. First time I ever come to this church, I came when I first got saved to hear a preacher named Brother Johnny Wade Sloan. He preached outstanding. I love this church. It reminded me of the highway because of the way the pillars of the church is laid out. I loved it. I'd heard the stories of Brother Verl Vaughn and the great church here. Brother L.L. Collins, I've heard his stories. He was my pastor for years. I can't tell Brother Collins' stories. It don't do you nothing for me to tell you Brother Collins is raising a one-room log cabin and all the stories Brother Collins and all the songs he's wrote. That's Brother Collins' testimony. I can't tell you about, I read the book, The Miracle of Merlin Heights, but what great is it for me to tell you what God done for Merlin Heights? That's their testimony. But I got to pray and I said, you know what? I wasn't there during Oral Roberts and A.A. Allen and when I used to preach in Texas, they said I remind them of a Jack Cole. I was a great preacher. It's because I was big. Jack Coe was a healing minister from years ago, back in the 50s. But they called me Jack Coe. And I said, Lord, I wasn't raised in those times. I never got to be in church with Brother Claude Ely. Y'all ever heard of Claude Ely? Ain't no grave. Well, I never got to be in church with him. I'll get to sing with him by the grace of God in heaven. But I tell you what, his songs sure have blessed me. But I got to praying and I said, Lord, would you help me to have some testimonies and experiences to where I know that I know that I know that nobody else was able to help me, that you came through and you blessed and you answered prayer, that I can take to my generation, not say this is what God done for Brother Vaughn or Brother Collins, what he done for me. Why not watch what you say when you pray those prayers? Better be careful. Brother, good to see you. Old preacher brother. I got to praying, and I said, Lord, God gave me a good wife. We had one child, and we were living in Middletown. We decided out of that apartment we wanted to move up towards closer this way. And Norma's brother-in-law had a house for rent. Don't ever rent a house off your family. I'll save you a lot of heartaches right now. Because I was praying, God, give me a miracle that I can take to my generation. You better be careful what you're going to pray. It may happen. Well, the job I was working put me on second shift. I didn't want to be on second shift, but I've got a wife and a child to supply for. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. I wish I had some rich uncle to help me out, but I never did. And I never would tell Dad my situation. So she was getting off of work at 5 o'clock, and I was going in at 5. They come around and said, we're going to lay off again, but listen, we don't think it's going to be as deep as it's supposed to be, so you'll be all right. Well, he came around on Friday and laid me off. He apologized when he handed me the layoff slip. Can I go ahead and preach? Can I tell you what God's done for me? Well, there's something bad going on. My rent's coming due, and I have to go to my brother-in-law and tell him I just got laid off. Here's the second problem. I've not got enough time in from the last time I was laid off to draw unemployment. I'm in bad shape. Well, I got my old pickup truck, and I never did pick up hitchhikers, but the devil got in the truck with me. And I was driving home, the devil just beat me up, said, you live for God, You pay your tithes, you give in your offerings, you go to church, you play bass in the choir, you try to do a little bit of preaching on the side, and now here you are, you're on second shift. That's one strike. You can't even hardly go to church like you want to. And now you've got a little wife and a little baby to take care of, and now you're getting laid off again, and you don't even have enough time to draw unemployment. I said, well, I guess I'll go to Norma's brother and see if I can't do a little bit of work for him. He was a contractor, and I've told this before, and Cecil never did let me build anything, brother. But I always was good with a sledgehammer. I could always tear down. I drove a few little nails. But you know, with a weak mind and a strong back, glory to God, I was always good for the demolition. So I was going to go to her brother, a contractor. She's from a big family. And the devil just had me so defeated, and I told you I can't hide my feelings. As soon as I walked in the door, Norma said, what's wrong? I said, I got laid off. And here she built my faith up. She said, what are we going to do now? I got to be careful because some people here in this house know my brother-in-law, but you can go ahead and tell him. I took him out to eat the other night, tried to make up for some of the bad feelings I had to him years ago. He said if I'd work harder, she would have had more. But at the time, he wasn't even hardly going to church. And when he did come to church, he sat there and slept. So I can say this to the grace of God. I had tried to put God first. I was in some circumstances and in a state of my life I didn't like to be, but God was going to give me peace. Well, we went to church, brother. What else are you going to do? That's one thing I like about Pentecostal churches. They've never asked me whether I've got a nickel in my name, a dime, or a $100 bill. I mean, they've always let me come in. Never asked me how much I got. You'd never know anyway. I don't believe in carrying around a beggar's cup. Nobody knew. I didn't go to nobody. I was just going to talk to Cecil, but I hadn't had a chance to talk to him. I need to pay my rent, brother. I was embarrassed by going to Gerald, but I had it all figured out in my mind. I'll go to Cecil. I'll get a job with him until they call me back to work at the factory. I'll go to my brother-in-law, just about said his name, praise God. I'll go to my brother-in-law and I'll say, would you give me an extension? I'll even pay you extra, but I can't pay the rent until I get this work, some little bit of work. I got to church that night. I wish I could tell you how great songs they sung. I can't tell you that. Because my mind was so bogged down with what was going on. You ever been there? Haven't you ever been there where you feel like you're looking through a tunnel, you don't see no way out? I have. I can't tell you what the preacher preached, but he did preach good. But they gave an altar call. And I like altar calls. To me, I guess maybe because it's just been always a blessing in my life. I love when they get the music and they set the tone for the altar call. The preacher's closing his message and you feel that warmth in your heart to want to have a little bit of season of prayer with God. There's nothing like it. And I love to find a place and call on God. I got there to that altar. And I didn't go. I went on the front pew and knelt down about right here in that church. It's a church here in this tri-state area. I knelt down. I was so bogged down, I didn't know what I was going to do. I hadn't heard from God. That's another thing I forgot to tell you. Sometimes when it's dark, it seems like God don't speak. But I'd been praying, God, show me a miracle that I can take to the young people and my generation, tell them what God could do for you. I got down to praying, God rebuked me. He spoke. He said, you praise me for what not's wrong in your life. He said, I know you're laid off. I know the rent's due, but God gave me a list. Some people call it a grocery list. In my mind, he said, you still got a home to go to. Mm-hmm. There's food still in the refrigerator. You still got Pepsi Cola to drink, praise God. God said, it ain't as bad as you think it is. God told me, he said, you praise me for what's not wrong in your life. God said, your wife's healthy. Your daughter's healthy. God told me, he said, you got food to eat. You got a warm bed to go home to. You got a car. It may not be new, but you got a car to get you home with. And you know what? God gave me a list. He said a few more things. And when he got done, he said, I want you to praise me for what's not wrong in your life. And you know what I got to realizing? It may not be perfect, but we can have God give us peace and be content in whatever state we're in, and God will give us the grace. And I threw up my hands. They wasn't shouting. I didn't hear no fast songs. I threw up my hands and started praising God. They probably thought I'd lost my mind. I hadn't done nothing all church service, but I threw my hands up, started praising God. Nobody knew what I needed. Nobody knew what I was going through. Only me and God and my wife. While I was praising God for what wasn't wrong, you know, the Spirit of God was blessing me. When I was thanking Him for everything He had done for me, for saving me, for filling me with the Holy Ghost, for giving me a good wife, for giving me a home to go to, and a car to drive, and for a good church to get help. While I was praising God, I felt something slipped up in my pocket. Kind of coming out of the Spirit a little bit, you know. I felt somebody put a hand in there. To this day, it's been over 20-some years. I don't know who that was. But I needed $235 to pay the rent. And God can count. I mean, I didn't get $237. I didn't get enough money to buy me a Pepsi Cola on the way home. I got exactly $235. When I came to myself after praising God, I got up. I guess the guy got a lot of ones because he wanted to make sure I knew something was in my pocket. But I had a big old wad of something in my pocket. I felt it. And I pulled out in my favorite color. And I do like most preachers do. I went and hid back in a Sunday school room and got to count, and it was $235. You know what? The rent wasn't due yet. It was going to be due, but I got to pay the rent before it was even due, glory to God, and said, God made a way. He'll make a way. And you know what? I'm telling the story still. Some of you might get tired of the testimony, brother, but I'm telling you what, God has never failed me. I'm not in need. I mean, I wish I had $1 million. I'd like to bless a lot of people. I prayed God would bless me. But I felt like a few months back to send some preachers, retired preachers, some offerings. I reaped some of it this past week during our meeting. But brother, I thought would never, ever, ever do something like that. He said, I just felt like doing this. Hand me a little piece of money. You know what? God, like they told me earlier, you can't outgive God. Don't do it for a show. Don't do it to be seen, but be a vessel God can use. That's all I've ever wanted to be. I just want to be a vessel, God, that you'll get the glory through. You know God's in the oil business. I got to thinking about this. That's why I like the Bible. It speaks to you. You may be a lot smarter than me. You may have already figured this out. But Elijah had an oil problem. And Elisha had an oil problem. Elijah, he's laying there by the brook. You know, sometimes where everybody's suffering around us. God spoke to Elijah. When he speaks to him, he says, there's not going to be no rain. You go tell the king, Ahab, no rain, what, 3.5 years? Not only rain, but no dew. But God said, I'll take care of you, Elijah. There's a brook. You're going to lay by the brook, and the ravens are going to feed you. Well, the brook dried up. God said, now you go to a widow woman, and I'm going to command her to feed you. He goes, we all know the story. She's gathering sticks. But you get to reading on, she ain't gathering a whole bunch of sticks because she knows she ain't got enough. There ain't no sense piling them up. She's just got enough for one meal. Then her and her boy's going to die. And the Bible says she was gathering 2 sticks. She had a little bit of meal and a little small little bit of oil. And you know what she done? She was out there gathering. The preacher come to her and he said, as I command you, as the Lord spoke to me, make me a cake first. Bring me a little bit of water. Can you believe somebody, a preacher, would ask, I'd be fighting mad if I knew, you know, what we would say nowadays, some big fat lazy preacher asking an old widow woman for some gas money. Oh, the world would have a heyday with something like that. And I'd probably be a little upset too myself if I knew he was asking a widow woman. But he's bold because God wants him to be. Says, not only bake me a little cake. That's kind of bold. Norma makes the best cornbread and fries the best chicken. And when I used to preach and travel a lot, I always told about my mom's fried chicken. Well, I just realized it was mainly just love, you know, that made it taste good. But when I come back from traveling and Mom got to go around to some churches, some of the older saints started coming to the older sister saying, "What's the secret to your fried chicken?" She said, "Mike, what are you telling them people?" I said, "I just tell them I like your chicken. Ain't nothing like Mom's fried chicken." Well, she trained Norma how to fry chicken just like I like it. And Norma's a good cook. But you know what? He's going to have a lady he don't even know anything about feed him first, give him water to drink. But the Bible, we all know the story. The meal barrel never went dry, and the oil never went dry until the rains come. That's God making a way. That's God making a way. Can I tell you, God will make a way when there seems to be no way? God will move for you. I've said this, and I've got to be careful because I don't want to hurt people's feelings. But some of our young people, and some, including some of my kids, you know, you never want to see your children suffer. But it might be better off for some of them just to go through some hard times, to have to lean on God. The brother already told us tonight we're so much used to lean on the credit cards. Can I tell you one more illustration? I promise I won't hold you much longer. I was evangelizing. We were so wanting to do God's will that I had prayed for a solid year about quitting my job at Frito-Lay as a salesman. 6 o'clock one morning in Sharonville, I was at my second stop. I stopped at a payphone there at the Sunoco station when I was getting ready to go into it. And I called Brother Collins. I said, "Brother Collins, I feel like my heart's going to bust. God's telling me to go preach full time." He said, "The life of faith's a great life if you don't weaken." What an answer. Life of faith's a great life if you don't weaken. I thought, man, I ain't no soldier. But I still felt like God wanted me to move. I made that step. We started preaching. I was in Virginia. I'd been preaching down there. We took off preaching. We never had a cell phone. We never had a credit card. Dad didn't know where we was at. We would call home every once in a while. But I was telling Norm on the way up here, you know, we never did break down on the road one time. And when I started taking off evangelizing, my van had 180,000 miles on it. One man told me, he said, "The miracle was that you had that old Ford van. And when I quit using it and sold to somebody, it had like 248,000 miles on it." He said, "That's the miracle." Because I knew a pastor who had the same van, had to put three transmissions, just one transmission after another, kept going back. Well, I was down there preaching. They gave me an offering. Now, they gave me a good offering. But I want to ask somebody that knows a lot about money, maybe this brother over here who gave us the Dave Ramsey report. How good is a check, brother, on a Sunday night when you're out in the middle of nowhere in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia, when you're an out-of-state preacher? I had a quarter tank of gas. Now, I didn't go to nobody and beg anything. I think I had maybe a couple of dollars in my pocket. We were fed. Everything was all right. But I wasn't staying there that night. I had to drive another 100 miles down to where I was supposed to be in an evangelist quarter to start my next meeting. I was hanging my suit coat up. Anybody ever had God answer a prayer automatic? I mean, just instant prayer answer. He'll do it for you. Now, I tell you what, God made himself real to me this night. Please listen to me. I'm not trying to be smart. But I'm telling you, I prayed years ago, "God, I want to have a testimony." One preacher said, "We need some Brother L.D. Moore stories to tell this generation." I love Brother Moore's preaching. Those older preachers that went through the fire had to trust God. Well, I was hanging my suit coat up in the back of the van. I said, "God, I appreciate the offering. But what am I going to do to get gas down the road? Either help that van to make it or move some way." I had not even got those words out of my mouth. I heard the gravels rustling and come to me. You know, brother, I like missionaries because I like hearing how God, when they're out in the middle of nowhere, answers prayer for them. Some people said they can't hardly stand to see a missionary come to church. It's just so boring. They ain't boring to me. It lets me know God's still moving. Even in 2010, God is still moving. God's still answering prayer. God's still parting waters. God's still making a way where there seemed to be no way. God loves to work when it looks impossible. Well, I prayed my little prayer. You know, probably thinking more out loud than really prayed. I didn't know God's ear was even tuned in with me. I just got to have a good meeting. God had me a check. You know, what else? Why should I be complaining? But I said, God, I got to have an answer some way. I was hanging that suit coat up, and I heard the gravels rustling. And this brother come to me. He was kind of loud, louder and boisterous than me. Brother Mike, I just can't leave without coming to you. When he come to me, and I recognized him in the light, he probably had one of the worst jobs in the church. He was just a church worker that was, I think, a janitor at a school. I mean, I don't know all his life, but I just know that he had a didn't make a lot of money. And he said, Brother Mike, do not be embarrassed by this, but he said, I can't leave. I said, what's wrong? Thought he wanted prayer or something. He said, Brother, I just can't leave. And he said, I just want to shake your hand. Don't you love Pentecostal handshakes? Well, he turned around. I said, Brother, I just can't leave. God's been speaking to me ever since I got out of church. Well, I got in the van light and opened up $37. I caught the brother. I went to him. He started crying. I said, Brother, I want to tell you something. I didn't have gas money to get down the road. You just answered prayer. Then we both started crying. I'll tell you, God will take care of you. I know I'm telling about the physical need, but I'm telling you, God will even meet you on your spiritual side. God will be there for you if you'll wait on Him and let him be a one that will work a miracle for you. I love the story, Corrie Ten Boom. They was in Ravensbrück, the concentration camp, her and her sister Betsy. Sickness everywhere. They had it smuggled in a little bottle of medicine. And Corrie said, I wasn't as generous as my sister, but she had such a love of God. Read the book, The Hiding Place. You'll read the story. True story. Later on, Corrie Ten Boom traveled the country. She called herself the Tramp for the Lord. The evils of them hiding the Jews in their house. They wasn't Jew. Hiding Jews. They were put in a concentration camp. They would come to them with their bread and they'd say, please, can you give us... She said that bottle, every time someone comes, she'd say... I'd say to myself, when Betsy would say, we've got something for you. She'd say, that'd be the last drop. You know, that bottle never did go dry. I love stuff like that. The bottles, they always had one more drop. It could have been filled up where they could have seen God's power, but God just let it one drop at a time. He'll be there for you. He'll be there in your darkest hour. He'll be there for you. Just let Him help you. Let Him help you. She said every time they'd bring that little crust of bread, there'd be one more drop come out. I love that. I love it. Norma, come get a song. I need to close. I told you about working second shift. They had our homecoming that year, my last year at that factory. I went to my supervisor and I said, is there any way that all I could come in late? I want to go to camp at least one night. Had to explain to him what it was. I went that Friday night to camp meeting. They let me come in late to work a late shift. They had a maintenance man to stay with me. All those guys that I worked with would go out during break and on lunch, working the second shift and smoke their dope and stuff. I come into that factory that night, and they was all hollering, I want to go to revival. I want to go to revival. I want to go to revival. They's mocking me. Go ahead and mock me. The factory's now shut down. Some of those guys are probably in eternity. The sad facts. And I'm still going on with God. And I'm still going to revival. And God's still making a way. That was one church service when I went to. I thanked God for being there and I soaked it in like a dry sponge. We don't know how blessed we are being able to come to church and feel the presence of God. I didn't know I was going to go this direction, but I'm going to tell it. I'm going to tell the story. I never got over to the famine that Elisha went to. It wasn't a famine. It was one widow woman in need. Sometimes everybody around you is blessed and you're having trouble. But he said, what do you got in the house? She said, I got a pot of oil. I got a little oil. And God blessed and met her needs through that oil. God's able to move. You know, let's have compassion to a hurting world. Let's show them the love of God. One young preacher, you may know him, years ago, said, Brother Mike, you ain't been preaching much holiness lately when you get up. I was preaching a lot more then. And I looked at him, I said, you know, our church just split. And we've got moms and dads who went with the split and the kids stayed at our church. And we got kids who left with the split and mom and dad stayed at our church. I think God's been trying to reach us. We need to have a little bit more love and try to heal those hurting hearts. I believe in hold us, but sometimes, brother, they don't need to hear about how, you know, don't take me wrong. I believe in standards. But sometimes we need to tell them that God's there for them. God loves them. Dylan got saved. He had prayed when he came with a visit with a man that's going to our church. He had hair as long as you girls. In fact, when I'm sitting up on the platform playing the harmonica, the first time I looked at him, I thought it was a girl. I'm not making fun of him. I mean, I thought he was a girl. Well, everybody kept saying, he's going to have to get his hair cut. He didn't know no better. Later on, they told me, the pastor come to me and said, Brother Mike, you know what's sad? That boy's mom and dad are going through a bitter, bitter divorce. Battling divorce. Wickedness. Just turmoil. He said, you never know what some of these kids are coming into, what they got going on at home. You know what? I would have said amen if the pastor would have got up and preached on standards and long hair on men. But God never led him that way. Some of the men later on spoke some words to him. But that night when Brother Neil got down late on the platform and Dylan was praying over there in that corner, I said, that's an evangelist. And Dylan got a real touch of God. But every time he'd speak to him, he'd say, yes, sir, no, sir. Very respectful. But then the next night he'd come in, haircut. We didn't have to drill it in his head. He just knew that God was dealing with him. I told Dylan, stay with God, Dylan. God will bring you through. You may have to have some heartaches and sorrows, but stay with God, and God will bring you through. God will bring you through. There was a... I got to tell the story right. It's a true story. There was a lady down in Florida on the coast somewhere that wanted to do something to show her grandchildren, you know, about reaching out, trying to reach people that's lost. She got 200 plastic Coke bottles, I think 16-ounce Coke bottles or 20-ounce, whatever those little plastic ones are. They wrote down scriptures. Stuck them in those bottles, put caps on them, threw them out. On that little piece of paper, they also had an address to where to write. This happened a few years ago. They threw them bottles out. They got some response back, you know. And I may not quote the scriptures exactly right, but one scripture they had in the bottle, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus Christ has come, he might have life and life more abundantly. They can't figure out how this happened. But a Coke bottle found its way all the way up to one of the Great Lakes. And there was a young mother whose husband had died, is getting ready to foreclose on the home. Everything was going wrong. Best I remember now, she took the children to one of the relatives, just said she wanted to have some time alone, and she went to the edge of the water, and she was going to drown herself. It was cold weather. She broke the ice. When she broke the ice, a pop bottle popped up. She started to throw the pop bottle out of the way and break the ice more. She'd get it. She was going to drown herself. She said, I can't live no longer. She grabbed that pop bottle and looked inside there and said, there's something in there. She raised it up, opened it up, and read that scripture, started crying. She's a backslider. God reached down, saved her soul. She wrote that old grandmother. They'll probably never get to meet in this world, but they'll meet in eternity. And she told the story. I want to tell you something. God can reach. God can touch. God can move. God does the impossible to confound the wise and just blow our minds sometimes how God can move for us. That grandmother had all of her grandkids pray that God would use them. God touched that lady, saved her soul. Who would ever think God would use something like that? Everyone stand. I've got other miracles God's give us, but I want to tell you the greatest thing ever happened to me was when I found Christ. And I have no desire to turn back. Every head bowed. Lord, I ask you to touch those, Lord, that may feel like everything's going wrong. I don't like when people suffer, Lord, but I know when they are suffering, you're right there in the midst to help them, God. Move. If there's somebody here right now, God, that's needing something done in their work experience to get them off that second shift or whatever's going in their life, they need to get back to work, answer that prayer for them, God. Until then, prove yourself to them. If there's financial needs, God, meet the needs. If there's spiritual needs, God, I know you're here to help, God. If there's wounds, God, that only you can heal, I ask you, God, to be there and help them. I know you will. Help them to let you. In Jesus' name, I don't want to drag this out, but oh God, let's find a place to pray. Let's call on God. Let's let God help us.
God is.
Yes, He is.
My refuge.
Oh God.